Thank you very much for inviting me to Prague. I must say that the NERS conferences, this is the 12th one, have become a very useful forum for discussing the challenges and the opportunities related to the use of nuclear energy over the years, and that the European Commission is always happy to participate, and it's always very useful. I'm coming from Prague, and therefore, but still allow me to speak in some Euro-English, because it's maybe a language that anyway we understand, everybody understands. And let me start by giving you a little bit broader picture of nuclear energy as a source in the EU. You can see that in the EU, we generate more than half of the electricity through low carbon sources, and the nuclear energy accounts for almost half of it. Actually, these are data from 2017, but 2018 Eurostat data shows that nuclear's part is rather 25.8%, almost 26%. The EU, of course, is committed to green energy transition and to reach a low carbon economy in the end. And it is to be indeed highlighted that nuclear plays and will continue to play an important role in these efforts, in reaching the climate targets. And this has been recognized in the recent long-term strategy, which is also called Clean Planet for All of November 2018, where nuclear alongside with the renewables is supposed to be one of the low carbon sources by 2050, when renewables should ideally reach something like 80% or more, and nuclear will still play a role by around 15%. Those are estimations. But nuclear also plays an important role in achieving the security of energy supply. It's, of course, a very reliable base load energy source. And not only, nuclear is also contributing to growth of jobs and of economy. It's, of course, a very developed industry that is very competitive and that also contributes to research, to development of research and competitiveness at the EU level. So this would be for this column. And when we look at the projections up to 2050, you can see that the part of nuclear is not changing very much. Actually, it's supposed to be at around 15% again by 2050 in all the scenarios of the long-term strategy. My presentation today will, however, focus more on the requirements that are applicable to new nuclear projects in the EU. This, I think, is a topical subject because of the plans of the Czech Republic to build new reactors that were already a little bit mentioned here today. But for this, before speaking on all the applicable requirements to the building of new reactors, let me remind you very briefly the history, because it's not always obvious. You know, at the beginning, we had three communities in the EU. We had the community for coal and steel community, which died in 2002, and because it was foreseen for 50 years. Then we had, of course, the main European economic community, but we also had the European Atomic Energy Community. And this European Atomic Energy Community, also called the Euratom, still exists. It's one of the, let's say, two remaining communities. So we have European Union with its own also legal requirements and primary law, which are the Treaty on the Function of the European Union and the Treaty on the European Union. But we have also the Euratom community, which is a legally distinct, community with its own legal personality, its own its own primary law, and the primary law is this, the so-called Euratom Treaty. And this Euratom Treaty is specific to, is regulating all nuclear activities in the European Union. So, although also these two, it is worth mentioning that these two entities have common institutions, so they have one European Commission, Parliament, and so on, and they have also the same budget. But the law is still distinct, and you will see it in my presentation that I will a little bit structure the presentation like this. I will especially focus on the Euratom law, because this is my field of competence, and I will much less focus on the requirements applicable to new builds according to the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union. But I will further explain. Under the Euratom Treaty, you have several competencies that, of course, are relevant for nuclear. The Euratom community has competence for nuclear safety. That means there is some legislation on nuclear safety. Competence for management of radioactive waste, regulations on radiation protection, nuclear safeguards, and so on. Now, this is kind of a complete overview of the EU requirements, EU Euratom requirements applying to new nuclear projects. I will, as I said, focus more on this part, which are the requirements under the Euratom Treaty, therefore the treaty focusing on nuclear, and less on the requirements under the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union. However, I will try still to mention a little bit here, a little bit what these requirements are about. Let me start with the Euratom Treaty. As I said, there is some legislation of nuclear safety that applies to new nuclear reactors in Europe, on management of radioactive waste, on radiation protection. Then you have some notification requirements. For example, in Article 37, which is a requirement to notify for the member states to notify any projects that would imply and releases of radioactivity, especially in the transboundary context. You have the notification under Article 41. It's the notification of investment projects. So any investment project will have to be notified to the Commission. I will further speak on this one as well. And then you have the notification related to the safeguards. The safeguards are, of course, the measures that aim to prevent that the nuclear material gets lost or is not used for its purpose, for civil purposes. And then we have some requirements under the treaty, on the functioning of the European Union. And those were mentioned here today. So we have some requirements applying to new nuclear power plants under the competition law, especially the requirements on the state aid. Of course, any new project has to be reviewed for these rules. It doesn't mean that there cannot be any state aid. A state aid can be, of course, justified, especially if you have some market failure. For example, for nuclear projects, we know that the upfront investments are very, very significant, and therefore normally the markets struggle to provide financing. The states can step in. However, of course, such state aid has to be kind of also proportionate to the objective to be reached. It can and must not lead into distortion of the competition. So there are several conditions when a state aid can be kind of approved also at the EU level. Then you have requirements on public procurement, mentioned today. These very quickly, when you have a project with a certain threshold of a certain size, you have to, then this legislation applies, and the project has to be published in European databases, and there has to be a tendering procedure and so on, based on some equal footing conditions. And then you have, in the end, also this legislation, European Union legislation, which is environmental legislation, and especially the directive on the environmental impact assessment. So any new project, any new build has to be assessed for its effects on the environment. Environment in the sense of human beings, fauna, flora, landscape, even cultural heritage, and all these things. Nuclear power plants are listed clearly in this directive as projects that must be assessed for environmental impacts. So there has to be an environmental impact assessment. This is an obligation for the member states to ensure there is such an environmental impact assessment. The Commission only monitors whether this has been done or not. As I said, I'm a little bit out of my depth for this part of the requirement, so I hope this was at least useful. But the fact that I am not expert shows this. Actually, the public procurement directives have been replaced in 2014, which my presentation doesn't reflect, as I found out yesterday night. So this I will correct. If you want to have the presentation after the conference, this will be corrected. Let me therefore focus on the main requirements to nuclear builds under the Euratom treaty, and especially under the Euratom secondary law requirements. Secondary law, it means directives or regulations, because under Euratom treaty you can of course adopt them. The difference from the EU legislation is that under Euratom it's only the member states that adopt the legislation. The European Parliament so far is not involved. The European Parliament is only consulted. So these three pieces of legislation were, based on the proposal from the European Commission, were adopted by the EU member states. And I will speak a little bit about each of them briefly. Nuclear safety requirements, radiation protection requirements, and requirements on the management of radioactive waste. So the main legal instrument that regulates nuclear safety at the EU level, and all these requirements apply to new nuclear power plants, is the Nuclear Safety Directive. The Nuclear Safety Directive was adopted in 2009, and it was substantially amended after the Fukushima accident in 2014 on the special request of the European Council that said you should review, you European Commission, the existing nuclear safety requirements and propose new legislation. And the new legislation was proposed and adopted. And there are some new provisions, or let's say very important provisions that apply to new builds. For example, the nuclear safety objective. I will speak a little bit more about it. The provisions on the independence of regulatory authorities have been strengthened. There are strengthened rules on transparency in nuclear information to the public and so on. There are new rules on nuclear safety culture, on topical peer reviews. There has been now a first topical peer review has just finished at the EU level. There are new rules on emergency preparedness and response, on-site emergency preparedness and response. All these rules apply to new builds. Most importantly, the new nuclear safety objective, very briefly, it means that during the whole life cycle of a nuclear installation, design, siting, construction, commissioning, operation, decommissioning, the accidents should be prevented, and if there is an accident, the consequences should be mitigated. In one sentence, it means there should not be any off-site contamination for new reactors. Then this objective also applies in a certain way also to the existing reactors, but what we are interested here today is new reactors. The directive is a little bit more concrete in what it means. It says that these objectives calls for significant safety enhancements in the design of new reactors, for which the state-of-the-art knowledge and technology should be used, taking into account the latest international safety requirements. So I don't think that a reactor that one would make in a garage or something would pass the scrutiny of these requirements. Another important piece of legislation applying, of course, to new reactors is the legislation of the Radioactive Waste Directive, which sets rules for safe and responsible management of spent fuel and radioactive waste. It requires the member states to have their national programs to deal with radioactive waste, to have their national policy to deal with the waste. There is the principle of polluter pays principle, which means who generates should also pay for the waste. And there are also strict control rules on the export of radioactive waste outside the EU. Another relevant directive applying to new builds is, of course, this directive on the radiation protection, the so-called Basic Safety Standards Directive. It's the oldest directive of all relating to nuclear field. It's about radiation protection, as I said, and the first one was in 57, something like this, 58, adopted. And then with time, there were five directives on radiation protection for different sources, like orphan sources, RADON and so on. And all these directives were merged in 2013, consolidated into one directive, Basic Safety Standard Directives. It regulates protection from radiation of workers, of citizens, of patients. And it also includes, following the Fukushima nuclear accidents, new requirements on off-site emergency preparedness and response. So again, for any new build, these rules are, of course, relevant. And now we are coming to those through notification obligations that I mentioned at the beginning. Any new build will have to satisfy these obligations. So any government and any operator that have a new build should think of these three obligations. The first one is an obligation to notify the project under Article so-called 37 of the Euratom Treaty, which means it's a project that there will be some releases and so on. So therefore, it should be sent to the Commission. The second notification obligation is Article 44 procedure, which is any investment project that is being made should be sent to the Commission. I will speak more about it. And then there is a notification under the safeguard rules as well, which relates to non-proliferation and use of the material just for the, let's say, the operation of the nuclear power plant and so on. I don't want to bother with too much detail. I will try to be then quick. This Article 37, as I said, any project is assessed whether the releases that can happen could have lead to a contamination of another member state. So it's kind of transboundary assessment that we are doing here. And the responsibility is here on the member state. The member state has to notify to the Commission. This plan that we are speaking about, these discharges are kind of prospective in nature. This article doesn't apply retroactively. And we are speaking about annual releases, discharges, planned discharges from a nuclear power plant, accidental discharges, and of any nature, like in gaseous, liquid, solid form, into the environment. And this Article 37 is part of Chapter 3 of the Euratom Treaty, which is about protection or health and safety. And therefore, of course, the contamination covers the notion of radiological impact from the point of view of health. And there are some more detailed rules for those who are interested included in this Commission recommendation that is followed and that the member states also follow when they notify. The most, quite voluminous or significant also notification is notification under Article 41 of any investment project. So an operator, basically, that is engaged in industrial activities listed in the next one of the Euratom Treaty, which is building any type of reactors, in our case also, shall communicate to the Commission investment project relating to new installations and also to replacement and conversions which fulfill the criteria of as to the type and size laid down by the Council on the proposal from the Commission. And we will see that these criteria, more detailed rules, are laid down in the Euratom secondary legislation. In this regulation from 1999, it's a council regulation that defines the types of projects that have to be notified. New nuclear power plants have to be notified, and the thresholds. The thresholds we will see a little bit later. And then there is this Commission regulation, which also specifies what type of information has to be notified to the Commission. And out of these nice ingredients, basically the contents, the information that the Commission is receiving has to be notified about waste management, about nuclear safety, about safeguards. And this leads to the adoption of an Article 41 point of view of the Commission, which is not published, which is sent back to the member state, actually, and which either says the project is fine or says the project is not fine, or says the project is fine, but there is a set of recommendations saying maybe you should pay attention to this or that. For the thresholds that I mentioned, you see that for nuclear reactors, for all types and all purposes, the threshold is 100 million euros. And for any modifications or replacement upgrades, it's 40 million for the existing reactors. The whole procedure looks like this. So the Commission receives the investor sends the notification to the commission, to Director General for Energy. It's a little bit of internal cuisine, but maybe in this way it would be interesting for you. DG Energy sends and my director at NRD sends an acknowledgement of receipt to the investor, and also sends questions to the investors about what the commission needs to know. These questions are not only the questions of nuclear people sitting there, but also the questions of colleagues from Brussels, from DG Competition, from DG Grow, from DG Environment. All these questions go to the investor, which that answers. And then we have also regularly a meeting or two, three meetings about this. Then we prepare, as the commission, the point of view. It goes to an inter-service consultation. It's an obligatory step in the commission's procedure. Any proposal you make, legislative, non-legislative, even this point of view goes through inter-service consultation, so other commission services can comment on this. And then the point of view is adopted. It's adopted by DGNR, Energy Commissioner, by delegation on behalf of all the commission. And as I said, the point of view is communicated to the member state. So the notification is done by the investor, but the point of view is communicated to the member state. Some member states then publish the points of views. Some are less transparent and they do not publish them. Of course, we as the commission would always enhance the transparency in the nuclear field is important. And so we would welcome any article point of view to be published. I think this is last slide on Article 41. So you can see that the commission drafts the article, the point of view, and normally it has these, it includes this information, like the aims of the project. It's a nuclear power plant, I mean, to generate this amount of electricity, how it is financed, but only really basic information, because as I said, DG Competition goes into detail. We do not go into detail in this assessment. However, we go into detail for the assessment of what are the plans, how the radioactive waste and spent fuel will be managed safely, reasonably, and so on. So we also look into the nuclear safety aspects and the safety of the design, let's say, based on the information we receive. We also look at the aspects of security of supply, which is also the policy of the European Commission to see to it that the member states are not over-dependent on one single supplier, but that they try to a little bit diversify their, for example, the when they buy the suppliers of nuclear fuel. Then we have a chapter on the safeguards, where all the technical measures are foreseen to ensure that the safeguards can be carried out effectively. And then we have also normally information on radiation protection and emergency preparedness and response, what kind of measures are foreseen. Not all of these chapters have to appear in a point of view, only when it is relevant. Uh-huh. And last but not least, two new nuclear projects apply, as I said, the European safeguards provision. So it's not European safeguards are not nuclear safety, it's not nuclear security, it's safeguards. It means all these measures taken at the EU level, the EU has very far-reaching competencies in this field, using something like 150 inspectors that go to the nuclear power plants and they check that all the material is not diverted from the intended use, that it's in line, the efforts are made to non-proliferation and so on. And the relevant articles are articles 77 and following of the Euratom Treaty. The notification itself is conducted under Article 78. And then there is also a commission regulation which sets out detailed rules for the implementation. The notification as such is defined in this way in Article 77. The Euratom community shall make certain that nuclear materials are not diverted from their intended use. This is kind of overall objective. And then anyone setting up or operating an installation for the production, separation, or other use of source materials or special fissile materials, or for the processing, of nuclear fuels shall declare to the Commission the basic technical characteristics of the installation. Then the Commission must approve these techniques. So this is another type of notification that also the Czech Republic will have to be make, will have to carry out when before they start building the reactors. And in time, of course, these notifications, some of them already come earlier, some of them come later. We heard from the state representative that, for example, the dialogue with the Commission on the competition rule, the state of rules, is starting in November, that it is like first meeting to see kind of pre-notification. So this is actually, I understand now, all being set in motion for the Czech Republic. And of course, the Commission is there to also advise. And I hope that this a little bit boring presentation will maybe be useful for also for you and as for utilities, but also for the Czech authorities. Thank you very much.